Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. Doc is here in the studio. We're going to continue our series on the journeys through the book of Revelation. And we got coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to take a little detour. And we've got a special guest that's coming to the studio, Dr. William P. Grady, and a prophecy book that he's written. And but we're gonna continue in Revelation today, chapter 16. So get your Bible out, open up to chapter 16, and get ready, and we'll get started in just a moment. Stand by. Hey, greetings, everybody. Thanks for listening in and viewing the program today. Well, I think you're going to enjoy it again. Well, we have so many people sending us remarks and emails, messages, letters, just thanking us for doing this revelation. Doc, people have said it's been a big... I know you told me the same thing.
I've had several contact me.
And I think we've helped unlock a key or a lock for people to knowing how to go through this and put this revelation together. Once you get these simple things, this thing falls together and it's pretty easy to grasp. I'm not saying everything jumps out at you, but it sure makes a big difference when you understand
Amen.
The parentheticals and how this thing lines up and the symbolism and all that. We do want to thank our partners out there, those of you who financially partner with us, those of you who pray for us. We appreciate you all
Amen.
Very, very much. We couldn't be here, wouldn't be here without the gifts of God's people. And about every 3 months, we got that great big bill that's due. And it'll be due again, I think, the end of September. It just doesn't stop. So keep us in your prayers. And if you're not a financial supporter, partner with us, pray about it, consider. If you need to talk to one of us or both of us, we'd be very happy to talk to you on the phone and tell you, who we are, what we're doing, our passion here, and so that you can make your decision if you want to be a part of this thing. And and real quickly, we still have these on the website. What Must I Do to Be Saved? By Brother Grady. Tremendous book for your lost loved ones. This is a book. It's okay for a saved person too, but because there's a lot of good stuff in there. But it's to give away to lost loved ones, people you know, people that you think would be interested. And in fact, on the back it says, this book was written for people who love God and want to know for sure that they will go to heaven someday. And do you know anybody like that? How about a parent, a sister, a brother, one of your children, somebody at work, somebody that you know? There's a great deal here. You can buy one if you want, but if you get five, you can give these out to people. Here we are in the last days. Listen, it's time to get our loved ones saved. You need to get the truth out there. And then real quickly, my prophecy puzzle book is now done. It is out there, ready for you to purchase it, get it, and read it. 270 pages, many color pages in there, color pictures. And this is an awesome book. I think the most important book that I've written, putting the pieces together. You're going to be amazed how this helps you understand prophecy. Okay, Doc, you're in the hot seat now. We've made it past Revelation 15.
Yeah.
Revelation 15, it's very interesting. It talks about the seven vials.
It gets the stage set for what's coming.
You turn the page and suddenly you're in the seven vials again.
That's right.
It's like a precursor explaining.
That's right.
Like setting up the stage,
setting
like
the
you
stage
said.
Board. Yes.
And then you turn the page and the act begins.
Yeah.
And I wrote here, the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet ushers in the seven vial judgments that were introduced to us in chapter 15, which we just looked at. These seven vials are the wrath of Almighty God. Chapter 16 goes into great detail concerning the pouring out of these vials. As we look at them, remember that this is near the very end of the tribulation and comes upon the earth very rapidly.
It has to be. It has to be right at the end, because as we'll see, the severity of them are so great that in other places said if God didn't shorten the days, life couldn't sustain it.
Yeah. So I got some lessons and application at the end, but I'm going to turn it over to you. You got some slides for the folks to see.
She'll put up a slide there of the vials that are going to be poured out. Yeah, it's amazing, and I was just thinking about it a while ago when you were doing the introduction. The seventh seal judgment unveils the seven trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh trumpet unveils the seven vials of wrath. And it's the seventh vial of wrath that opens up into the millennial reign. I mean, each one has a purpose for its ending, where it's headed.
Mm-hmm.
And chapter 16 actually brings you to the next parallel of 17 and 18. So if you just set chapter 17 and 18 aside for a moment, you could tie chapter 19 and chapter 16 bookend together.
In other words, chapter 19, verse 11 is Christ coming on the white horse.
That's right.
At the end of the tribulation to the battle of Armageddon with us.
Yep.
So you could skip 17 and 18 and go, and the timeline goes from the last vial to
that's where the timeline is.
Yep. See, that'll be very helpful for the audience.
And that's something that when we get to chapter 19, we'll come back and pick up just a little bit of this seventh wrath, a vial of wrath, because that become Battle of Armageddon is the end of Gentile rule over Israel.
Yeah.
And that's what they asked Jesus, the disciples, are you going to set up your kingdom now?
In other words, the end of the times of the Gentiles.
The end of the time of the Gentiles.
Yeah.
At Battle of Armageddon. Because then you're going to be introduced to a Jewish kingdom for 1,000 years of millennial reign.
Yeah.
And so this, I'm convinced, has been up to this point, folks, the trumpet judgments were very severe. They're very troubling, very demonic in nature, and very vile. And there are a lot of people that want to teach that the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments and the vial of wrath, they're all one and the same. That cannot be.
Yeah.
Because each one comes out of the seventh one before them.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to have a lot of similarities when it comes to the sea turning to blood and the fountains being affected. But up until this point, it has only been a third. But in this one, the chart that she had up there a while ago, you're going to find that those that have the mark of the beast on them, they're going to end up with some kind of, maybe it's some kind of cancerous sore or whatever, but there's going to be some great consequences.
And that appears
physically.
To be that first, she's put that back up there,
The first one. And then notice the sun, the sea's going to turn to blood, only this time, instead of a third of all of the creatures, all of the creatures. And you're an old Navy man. You know how stinking an old harbor was with all the old dead fish.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the entire ocean filled of dead fish?
Yeah.
And so this is really getting severe. And then the next one, the rivers are going to... It's kind of like this when I hold walk people through this part in a conference. I say, to this point, now you're sitting in your home scared to death because of those creatures out of the trumpet judgments. And now you go to the faucet and turn it on and all you get is blood.
Sounds like the story of Exodus with Moses, doesn't it?
That's right. Because Moses has been a part of these things in the past, and it's obvious that God's going to use some of those things yet further.
Yeah.
Even though Moses, I think, by this time is already back in heaven.
He's gone,
But this is going to become a very difficult time to survive. Can't hardly find a drink of water. And the Bible is clear that as a result of their treatment of God's people, in particular the prophets, and those that have tried to present the truth to them, they've martyred them, so they're going to get blood for the blood they've shed. So God not only is going to wait, I see it like this, not only at the great white throne judgment of God, is God going to mete out the recompense that is a full reward for what they've done, but even before then, they're going to have some payday.
Mm-hmm.
And Then the fourth one, we're going to find that God's going to turn the sun up. And as a result, everybody's going to get a major sunburn.
Doc, I think it's hot enough out there now. It's been hot.
Well, this is climate change now.
I don't think people can comprehend what's coming.
No way. Hollywood could not even begin to make a movie to depict what's really coming. And so the sun's going to turn up. And honestly, I believe, because I know the days are going to be shortened, and there's going to be one-third of the part of the moon and one part of the third of the sunlight. As a result, I'm convinced that's going to be a speed up of the revolution of the planet, because God's not going to remove any of the days on the calendar. So, because it's going to be a set in time number of days.
Yep, 2,520.
But if he speeds it up, and I'm convinced, as we'll see in a few moments when we get to the seventh vial of wrath, God is going to prepare the earth for his final act, which is going to happen in the seventh vial of wrath. So he's going to heat the sun and the moon lights. He's going to shorten the days. And as a result, already, you've got the volcanologists, you've got the seismologists. One's working about volcanoes, and the other's dealing with earthquakes. They're all really all working overtime trying to figure out what's going on. And right now, the news outlets is trying to tell us, look, something major is getting ready to happen out in Yellowstone. They're already stopping people from going into the national park.
They say it could split America in half.
It probably will. And that's the number one super volcano in the world. And so these people are already busy. People are already under the understanding from the people that study them. I forget the actual name of paleomagnetism or whatever that field of study is. They already know that the poles have shifted many miles, and they're concerned about a reversal of the poles. And so the world is right now already starting to get itself ready for God's final act of judgment on this present sin-cursed earth.
It's groaning and travailing, awaiting the redemption.
That's right. And the Lord said in what we call the Olivet Discourse that earthquakes would increase, be in diverse places. And we're already seeing these things take place. And so he's going to turn the sun up, and people's going to be burnt. Time is already being altered as far as the length of a day. The world is already reeling in cataclysmic events. And then the sixth vial of wrath, he's going to cause darkness to come upon the seat of the beast. I don't know if that means a darkness on all the world.
Sounds like a location, doesn't it?
On the location's what that sounds like. And then he's going to cause the Euphrates River, which has always been seen as the dividing line between Asia and Europe, the Euphrates River. It's always been seen as the dividing line. And again, we need to remember that chapter number one has already told us that to understand the book of Revelation, there will be signified signs and symbols.
Yeah.
So people are concerned now about the drying up of the Euphrates River in a physical way. That may happen. But if you really think that it requires the drying up physically of the Euphrates River to stop an army coming from the east, you need to have another think coming. Because no river is going to stop any military in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kings of the east is getting ready to ride. We don't have time to look at the in-depth here thing about the frogs and all of those things that's going out. Going to deceive these people. Why? He's getting ready to draw them all to the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah.
And by this time, according to the book of Daniel, the king of the north, I believe Russia, the king of the south, Islamic Caliphate, they're already countering the king of the West, the Antichrist, and there's all kinds of battles that are already taking place. And so everybody's vying for a position of actual leadership. I don't know if they think they can defeat the Antichrist. I'm not sure. But they're all going to meet at the Battle of Armageddon.
And that is the seventh vial, right?
That'll be the seventh vial. But part of the seventh vial and is actually going to be an earthquake. Now, I think that earthquake's going to probably take place at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, because it may be the earthquake that splits the Mount of Olives when Jesus actually comes back.
Yeah.
Because all of this we're talking about right now, up until the end of the 16th chapter, is the 70th week of Daniel getting ready to be finished. You got that next slide she can put up for us, and we'll take our time to look at this one. And this is the seventh vial of wrath that is poured out. And in the seventh vial of wrath, beginning in verse number 17, the seventh angel poured it out, and the voices out of the temple and out of the throne saying, "It is done." Dan, I have that underlined in my preaching Bible.
I do too.
I don't have it in this one, but I have it underlined. And out beside it, I have Daniel 9, 24 through 27.
Yeah.
Because there were six purposes for Daniel's 70th week.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to follow this is the presentation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the Battle of Armageddon. And that's means the 70th week is done. Anyway, that's how I take when it says, thinks, well, that means the tribulation's done. I think it's broader than that. I think it has to do with the 70th week of Daniel is now done, because what's going to follow this in chapter 19 is going to be the millennial reign coming.
Yeah.
And the Battle of Armageddon, all of that's taking place here. But look at what I've got there on that slide for you. And he said in verse number 18, a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And he goes on to say, what's going to happen with that earthquake? And a great city was divided into three parts, talking about Jerusalem, divided into three parts. I think that's probably Jesus putting his foot on the Mount of Olives. I couldn't say dogmatically, but I believe it fits there. And keep that up there. And then he goes on to say Babylon comes up. And remember, that's what's going to be in the next parentheses, 17 and 18. But look in verse number 20. Every island fled away, and mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's up to 110 pounds.
Yeah, imagine getting hit with that.
And so here's the picture, folks. You can put that aside now. Thank you. Here's the picture. The final vial of wrath is getting ready to prepare planet Earth for the millennial reign that's getting ready to start.
Yeah.
This is a physical. It is not only a judgment, the final vial of wrath, but it is also now, as it's the seventh vial, is going to open up as the seal judgment 7 and trumpet judgment 7 opened up into the next level. This is now the seventh vial of wrath is going to open up into the next level, the millennial reign.
Now look at this, Doc.
Yeah.
Excuse me just for a second. I want to just interrupt you quickly. This amazes me. After all this, after the seven seals,
the seven trumpets,
the seven vials of the wrath, the seven thunders that we don't know what they are, and this final vial, you know, hailstones, 100 pounds, crashing your house and killing people. And what do they do? What does man do? And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Yeah. It's amazing. And so let me just give you a little science here to understand. The mountains and the islands of our world today is a result of the receding waters of the judgment of God in Noah's flood. Mm-hmm. Before Noah's flood, the world was a Pangea. And we'll get to this when we get to the millennial reign. I've got a picture I'll show you. But the world was a Pangea. And because of the waters that were above came down, it caused an expanse, which has changed the time of our revolution around the sun. But anyway, it has caused an expanse. As a result, we have islands all over the seas, and we have mountains all over the globe. And so before that, there were no mountains, and there were no division of seas like our world has today. Now, do you think God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to come back and set up his rule over a sin-cursed, wrecked world?
No.
No. He designed the first world perfect. He designed the first world in its creation before the flood. Even fallen man lived to be almost 1,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm convinced that the 100-pound blocks of hail that is falling, and if you do a little study, you understand that hailstones are created as a result of the high energy that is the upper stratosphere. And what is happening is basically the impurities in water are bonding together, making that hailstone. Most hailstones melt again before they ever enter into our atmosphere. But many times they do come on through. Mm-hmm. And and here's what I'm convinced God's going to do with this. There's not going to be any more mountains. There's not going to be any more valleys. All of the cities of the world are crashed. All of the leadership of all this disarray. And God's going to reconstitute a physical earth for the millennial reign. And he's going to, I believe, create a canopy once again. Mm-hmm. As waters are going to be sent up, he's going to purify those. They're going to come down. When we get to the millennial reign passage, I'll have some more information to go with this. But this is what I'm seeing, is that the seventh vial of wrath is going to destroy all of Gentile leadership in the world. It's going to remove this rebellious Jerusalem. And Jesus, I believe, at the same time, is going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. Maybe at this same time, or right with it, or just shaded before, is the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus now is coming down. He's going to go and get his surviving Jews and bring them back. And he's going to bring them back to a restored world.
Yeah,
I'm convinced of it. And so I think that even though it's very catastrophic and it's very descriptive in its nature, I don't think God gave you all of these things that are a result of this great earthquake just to put in some more lines in the Bible. I think he gave us some descriptions so that we could get an idea about what is exactly going to happen, because the next thing to take place after this, it's going to be the millennial reign.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic, Doc. You did a great job. Those charts were wonderful. I think that's going to help people. I'll bet you people are taking pictures of the TV screen with their phone.
Yeah.
And do you want me to close it out? Or
yeah,
you got
go
some
ahead.
More?
Go ahead.
All right. This is right out of my Revelation study guide and some lessons that I give at the end of each chapter and some application to our personal life. We'll just see how far we get. Number one, take each vial literally, unless context shows that it is symbolic. For instance, verse 3 says the sea became as blood. That's obviously symbolic, as are most of this. But these vials, number 2, are the judgments of God. Think about it. Now, really, this is not Satan beating us over the head. This is God doing this.
And it's not man doing it to himself.
That's right. Number 3, these judgments are against the lost people of the earth. No harm will come to those recently saved. Not that they won't be martyred.
Most of those will no doubt be martyred.
But these judgments are not against them. And you see that in verse 2.
Right.
Those who have the mark of the beast.
Yep.
Now, how them hailstones miss some and don't others, I mean, that's in God's hands. But number 4, God is righteous and just. even in his wrath.
Well, he's been gracious up to this point,
yeah.
even in all of the judgment.
Yeah, and verses 5 through 7 I wrote here, even through this wrath, God is righteous
Always.
And just.
Yes.
And of course, at the end, you see them cursing him, blaspheming.
Well, righteousness simply means God is right.
Yeah. Number 5, God brings vengeance upon those who persecute his servants.
Amen.
And you see that in verse 6 here.
Yes.
For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. In other words, you deserve what you're getting.
That's exactly right.
Number 6, the sixth vial prepares the way for China's 200 million man army to march toward Israel for the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. You see that in verse 12 mm-hmm. through 16. Number 7, the fall of Babylon in Revelation 16:19 is actually explained in great detail in chapters 17 and 18, which we'll get to next week.
Yes.
Parenthetical stuck in there, going back to explain things.
Explain why it's so necessary to give it utter destruction.
Yep. Chapter 17 and 18 are there to show the judgment of Babylon near the end of the seven-year tribulation. And then just a couple things about personally applying this to our life. Number one, after reading this, pray for and witness to your lost loved
Amen.
Ones.
That's
get
right.
Get that book and get it to them if you can.
Amen.
And lest they fall under this wrath of God. Number
Amen.
Two, have you yourself found yourself bitter and angry about something God has allowed to happen in your life? Take a moment, read Revelation 16, verse 5 through 7. Confess that God is holy and just
Amen.
No matter what's come your way in your life. Number 3, remember that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yes.
It's not ours. God,
vengeance
he will
repay.
Is the Lord's. Number 4 is the church I attend, part of the one world religious system that God loathes. Some
Boy,
people are in the one world church.
Man, it's forming all around us today.
And in closing, we are now at the final moments of the tribulation, the final moments
Amen.
Of the tribulation. Christ is about to return in glory in Revelation 19:6. We're talking about during the tribulation. Now, at the end of
yes.
the tribulation, what we just read is the final moments of it. Christ is getting ready to get on the horse and return. We are given a look at the fall of the one world church, the one world government headed by Antichrist. And this is just amazing.
Yeah. We're getting ready to come back. By this time, we're getting ready to come back on our horse as well.
And hopefully got the cake wiped off our face from eating cake and ice cream.
Amen.
And well, folks, that's chapter 16, a pretty vivid description there. Of a pretty amazing time of God's wrath upon sin and wickedness and evil on this world. And it's coming. It will not be stopped. It is going to happen. We read is not something that might happen. It's something that is going to happen. It cannot be stopped. All right. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on them skies.